I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I am so excited to welcome Denise Huth. She is executive producer of The Walking Dead. She will be joining us at Promax Europe in Amsterdam on Tuesday, March 26th. There, she will be presenting a masterclass on how The Walking Dead became a global hit. Welcome, Denise. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. So I'm going to start right at the, I'm going to get right to the heart of it. So without giving it all away, since this is going to be a session at Promax Europe, but what is one key reason you think The Walking Dead has been such an enormous hit around the globe?
You know, I think it's always fundamentally been about family and survival in its way. And even though it's a horror show and there's so many people who say they don't like horror, but they do watch the show, they really connected to these characters from the beginning. We were so fortunate to have people like Andrew Lincoln and Melissa McBride and Norman Reedus from the very beginning. And the characters, I think, present in a way that people can connect to. It doesn't feel like an out-of-the-box world. It feels like this, in theory, could happen even though it's zombies and it's not going to happen. And but it just connects them to that idea of survival. And I think survival and home and family are just very universal themes that it doesn't matter where you live. Everybody wants to protect their family and everybody wants to protect their home.
So you're saying it's a zombie soap opera.
It's totally a zombie soap opera.
Kind of is, yeah.
You know, I think most great stories are soap operas. So it's, you know, any ongoing story, you know, has that theme. And I think that's what's most engaging for people.
Simultaneous launch. But is there anything about, since this is a marketing organization and conference, is there anything about the marketing that you've seen that you think has helped advance the cause?
Oh, I think the marketing has been so critical to the show from the very beginning, because again, on the surface, when we first started back in 2010, it's just, oh, it's a zombie show. And it was so important to get the message across to the audience that it's, yes, there's this element of this monster and it's scary, but at its core, it's about this family and it's about humanity, really, and what it means to survive and what it means to be who you're going to be when the world falls apart. And I think it was so critical from the very beginning to relay that message through the marketing of this is a bigger story than what you think it is. And I think that's what made people interested to check it out in the first place. And then, you know, even if it was, you know, for whatever reason, they initially checked it out, I think the audience, we were certainly surprised, and I think the audience was surprised at how quickly and how engaged and how committed they became to this show. It, you know, it defied all of our expectations on what this could be. And the fact that the ad campaigns and the marketing has always sort of focused on, you know, Rick and then his core family and, you know, all of these main characters around him, made it a show that people could always find somebody to connect to. There was always a character that they were interested in and they just wanted to know they're going to be okay. And that was, it was critical. Otherwise it's just a zombie show and it's so much more than that. And I think that's definitely why it has grown to be this huge thing all over the world.
How do you feel then that fans feel about the fact that their characters very well may not be okay?
You know, it's an interesting process of the show. And I think it's hard. It is, you know, it's hard for us because, you know, we work together and we love all these people and it's sad whenever anybody leaves the show. But it was also sort of baked into the concept. And so even though it's hard and it's upsetting when you see a character leave, we're constantly introducing new characters and we're constantly introducing new locations that, you know, they're on the move so much and it makes it part of the journey of the show. And so even though it is really, really hard when your favorite character goes, there's always somebody else you're also invested in. And there's always a new bad guy or there's always a new character that you're not sure about. Is this going to be a good person? Is this going to be a bad person? And that it's sort of the evolution of the show and it's the evolution for the audience. So it's a very interesting and unique experience for television.
I think other than maybe Game of Thrones, this is a show where you have to really be careful about who you invest in because no one is safe in the world of The Walking Dead. So I think it's so interesting that you, and correct me if I don't have this totally correct, but you worked with Frank Darabont to develop the show and you've been doing this for about 15 years, if that's correct. And if, what were your original expectations for the show? Did you expect it to turn into what it's become?
Definitely not. Yeah, that is correct. I worked for Frank for 13 years and we first got the rights to The Walking Dead in 2005. And it took us about 5 years to get somebody to say yes, because absolutely everyone thought putting zombies on TV was a catastrophically terrible idea. It, you know, had never really been done before, and it, nobody, you know, we knew we'd have that core crowd. You know, Robert Kirkman's comics are very, very beloved and very successful to this day. But the fact that it was able to go beyond that sort of core genre audience into this worldwide audience of people who have, you know, I get told all the time, oh, I never thought I'd love a zombie show. I don't like horror movies. I, you know, I myself am not a huge horror fan, but I think it's, we're all a fan of a good story. And I think if you're telling a good story, it almost doesn't matter what the genre is. You will make that connection to an audience if they believe you and they believe your characters. So no, we were just praying that we'd get a second season. You know, we never in our wildest dreams imagined we'd be going into season 10.
It's not just season 10, it's season 10 plus Fear the Walking Dead plus AMC just announced as another spinoff plus movies, right?
Right. Yeah, there's a whole, Scott Gimple is in charge of the whole Walking Dead universe, and there's things going on that even I don't know about. You know, they're definitely have discovered that this world is one that is very rich with stories and characters that they can come up with that have moved so far beyond the original core of the comic book group. And, you know, we're very grateful that the sort of mothership is still going strong and that the fans are still so invested in these characters after all these changes. But it just goes to show that if you find that right story and you find a way to tell it well, the audience will find you.
So as a person with an executive producer credit on the show, and I know that executive producers do lots of different things and under that title, but what do you actually spend your time on Walking Dead doing?
So my primary function has been pretty much the same since the beginning of the show. I am on set almost all day, every day. We do have a lot of producers, and the show is just so massive. It's so complicated to put together just from a physical standpoint on the ground in Georgia. And then the overreaching, you know, creative goals of the showrunner each season. We have a huge cast. We shoot primarily outside. We're in the heat. So my primary function is to be on set and help work with the writers. We typically have a writer on set when we can, work with the directors, especially the visiting directors who come in or any new directors who come in, to help them understand sort of the rules of our world and how our show operates, not only the actual, you know, input or the endpoint of the episode at the end, but just how it works on a day-to-day basis filming in Georgia with our crew and, you know, our cast. We have a massive, massive cast. We've had years where we've had 20, 22 series regulars. So it's just a lot to coordinate and keep track of and make sure everybody's sort of on the same path and making sure that we're hitting those points that the showrunner's aiming for with any given episode.
Okay, so you're really into the day-to-day.
Very day-to-day, yes.
yeah, very day-to-day. So we kind of touched on this, but I think it's interesting with The Walking Dead in that you do have such a big cast and you do have so many cast comings and goings. And, you know, Andrew Lincoln is signing off the main series. Why can I never say her name? Guerrera.
yeah.
Who I interviewed back in the day. But anyway, so she just broke out on Black Panther. So she's going to depart, but come back for movies. You know, you've had lots of other cast members come and go. What do you think that's meant for the show in terms of maybe opening up other stories? Or do you feel like it keeps the show accessible to fans? Does it freak fans out? I just don't think I've ever seen a show where people depart in the same way that they do on Walking Dead.
It's definitely a unique process for an ongoing television series to know that, you know, it's not just, oh, the supporting characters that come and go, but our main characters have come and gone since the very beginning. You know, I think it's actually part of why the show has been so successful as long as it has been. It is torturous when some of these big characters leave. You know, there are some deaths that, you know, just stay with you.
And people get so upset
on the show.
Too. The fan community just goes nuts, I think.
Yeah, they really do, which is great to me. It's, you know, if you kill off a major character of the show and nobody cares, nobody's watching your show. They should care. They should be upset. But I think it does keep the stories fresh and interesting because it does make room for some of these new characters. We have so many new characters every year. And even if you start out not really knowing who each person is or what their story is going to be, by the time they leave the show, which is almost inevitable for pretty much everyone, the audience will care. And I think that's kind of like a little magic trick that the writers pull off of, you know, being able to introduce these new people and turn them into somebody that the audience really cares about and will be really crushed when they go. It is part of the fabric of the show. And I think it, you know, there's something to be said for, oh, it'd be so great if, you know, Shane was still there, Lori was still there, or Andrea was still there, but it is such compelling storytelling of how they all departed and the fact that you still feel the ramifications of those characters all these years later. It's just part of what makes the story interesting. So even though it's hard, I personally wouldn't change it.
I think it's interesting because if you think about it, you guys have gotten to have, you know, I don't know, 5 more resets where you get to just sort of reset the whole world into a different place, tell a different story, have different villains. So I think in that way, yeah, it makes it much more interesting. If they just sort of stay in the same place, you might run out of stuff to talk about at a point.
Definitely. You know, it always gives us a chance to change the direction a little bit. You know, we've always said every season is kind of its own little story in a way. Yeah. So even though it's always an ongoing story, each season has its own themes. And I think it definitely helps keep the audience in tune and, you know, keeps them coming back for more, because at the end of the day, you never know exactly what's going to happen when an episode airs. You know, there's always a twist, there's always a turn, and sometimes you see them coming and sometimes you don't. And I think that that's part of telling a great story over the long term.
All right. And then last question, this is a very important question, is if a zombie apocalypse happened tomorrow, what would be your strategy?
You know, I've been asked this question a lot over the years.
You have?
And I think my answer is, Yeah, people, there's, you know, I think we all kind of get into a mindset of like, okay, yeah, if there was like an apocalypse of some kind, we'd be so good. Like, we would know exactly what to do. And I think the truth is, you know, I would definitely die. Like, there's just no, I wish I could tell you I was like totally prepared, but, you know, making a television show of an apocalypse and an actual apocalypse are two wildly different things. And, you know, I like to think I would have some good ideas, but, you know, I'm pretty spoiled when all is said and done, and it would be a rough way to live. So,
I always joke my strategy
I think
is I would
all
just
be in
like
a lot of trouble.
I would just drive into like the middle of the zombies and just be like, "Yeah, bye. I'm tapping out.
Bye.
I'm not bothering with this whole struggle of surviving because I will be bad at it."
You know, if you stop and really think about it, it's like, okay, everything these people went through for the 10 years on our show and everything they lost, I'm like, yeah, peace out. No thanks.
Yeah, and for what? Then they just get eaten by zombies in the end anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, very, very dark.
It's rough.
Very dark vision.
Very dark.
All right. Well, Denise, thank you so much. It's a quick and dirty interview, but I really appreciate it. And we're really looking forward to hearing you in Amsterdam.
I can't wait. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day. Paige Albiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video helper provided the music. Digital content producers Kate LeCayer-Marion and Kayla Marie Hardaway contribute to Daily Brief. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at promax_global. You can also email us at dailybrief@promax.org. And please subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.